What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Until the Gold Club opens.
Make it rain.
Vinny and Haiti.
Better grab an umbrella.
1057 The Fan.
Oh, who are we jamming here to? Is this Skinner?
ZZ Top.
ZZ Top! It's Biddy at 81057 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday. My bad. Sorry about that.
If you want to hear Crank the 12, send your song request plausible text line 410-583-1057.
Bob Haiti, Vinny Serrato. Divisional rounds are set. Rams blow out the Vikings last night, 27-9, which we'll get into when we get to the top of the hour and beyond. But joining us now to talk about the Ravens and their quest to get back to the Big Easy and try to play in that Super Bowl for the first time in 12 seasons. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back, as we do every Tuesday, from USA Today. It's the Ravens Wire, Kevin Allstriker. Kevin, good morning. And how about Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, round two?
It always felt like it was going to be this way. I know both teams had to take care of business in the wild card round, but one down, three to go for both teams. And, you know, it's top two quarterbacks in the league this year, in my opinion, and one will advance to the AFC Championship, and one will go home not so happy.
All right, if you don't mind, we'll just dismiss the Steelers, and rightfully so. They've lost five in a row. Goodbye. Good luck with all that stuff. What's different about both teams, as you've done your intel, obviously, for this game coming up Sunday at 6:30? What's different about both, good or bad, from week four to where we are now?
You know, I think Baltimore, obviously, it's the defensive side of the ball where – even though Baltimore is able to win the way that they did against Buffalo, that was still the old version of Baltimore's defense, where they hadn't made the changes in the secondary and they were still kind of working through some stuff. So it's a different defense altogether, where now Darius Washington is in there and Malik Harrison, Chris Board, and there's no Marcus Williams, no Eddie Jackson. And you also have I think the evolution of the offense over the course of the season, the evolution of the offensive line in particular, if you want to talk about that, where that was still very early, where they were figuring it out. I mean, the first couple weeks of the season, that 0-2 start, the offensive line had a lot of negative plays that contributed to that. And obviously, I think against the Bills was a pretty big turning point for them. So it's different there. And then for the Bills, they didn't have three of the top defenders in that game. So I think that's something you do have to acknowledge, where Matt Milano was out and Teron Johnson. Those are guys that are going to make an impact on the game. So I think that whatever you look at this matchup, you know, you can take certain things from what happened in week four, but these are two different teams. And while there are opportunities for the Ravens to win big again, it's going to have to be a little different, because these teams in September are not the teams they are in January.
Hey, Kevin, watching Harbs' press conference yesterday, he was really loose, I thought.
Yeah, it was Harbaugh this year, and honestly, the last couple of years has been pretty, you know, tight to the vest with stuff and very, like, almost strategic is the word I'll use, which I think a lot of coaches are. But, yeah, I like the way he was kind of free-flowing with everybody, and, you know, I think, look, he feels good about the win, of course, and you don't want to go up there too stressed out during the playoffs, I feel like. You know, you got to treat it like any other week, and I guess, you know, if you want to treat it like any other week, maybe he should have been up there stressed out, because that's what it is every week. But it was really cool to see, obviously, and I think for him, that's kind of what the message he's trying to send to his team is, like, hey, you know, don't try to overthink things. You know, it's the playoffs. Yeah, the stakes are higher. It might be a little bit of a different feel, but don't have it be a different feel. Just have it be like a regular week, getting ready for game day. And it's big because sometimes in the playoffs, things can get super magnified and can get, you know, the stakes are super high and everything like that. So I feel like for Harbaugh, him being loose, if I had to guess, that's the message he's sending to his team, because he can't get too wound up during the playoffs, unless I think it'll come back to bite you.
Kevin, the thing that I still see about this game is, you know, Buffalo, the D tackles and the D linemen, they're still not very big. You know, Milano's 220. The other linebackers like 225. They're not big. I don't think the safeties are very good. And I don't think the corners are great cover guys. I mean, their defense, I think, is just, I mean, they're ranked 17th. So what is that? That says they're average. And I think they are. I'm just not big on their defense, and especially, you know, stopping the run.
Yeah, I'm not either. And it's been a consistent theme all season. You know, I think it'd be different if they had gone through a little tough stretch, or, you know, they were able to fix some things. But this is a defense that gave up, what, like 90 points in a two-week stretch over the course of the later part of the season. And, yeah, they got their guys back, but I don't think that's necessarily helped them a ton. And I know people will point to the Denver game and say, oh, look what they did against Denver. Well, Denver's not Baltimore. And I think that with the way that the Ravens sometimes have struggled against, and we've talked about this, more physical defensive fronts this season, one, I think they did a heck of a job against Pittsburgh, who does have a physical front. And two, like you said, I just don't think the Bills have one. They have talent on their defense, but I just think it's a bad matchup for them overall. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that Baltimore's a shoe-in to win the game or anything like that, but I just think that the way that we saw these first two teams, or first time the two teams matched up in September, again, don't want to take too much away from that game because they are different, but at the same time, it's like, well, they didn't add anybody on defense. You know, the trade deadline to get more physical up front that really instills fear into you. I know they brought in a couple of other defensive linemen after the deadline, and, you know, like Jordan Phillips and Quentin Jefferson, but those guys to me aren't making a huge impact. And if the Ravens can run the ball against Buffalo, I think that in itself is game over, because these two teams and their wild card matchups held the ball for a combined 89 minutes together. The Bills for 41, the Ravens for 39, so I guess 90, but at the same, or 80, but at the same time, I think that with what this Ravens team has, if you can keep Josh Allen off the field, that's your best formula for winning the game. You're able to clock control, run the ball, and Todd Monken's offense can be very efficient, but the Bills can't stop the run. I mean, that's essentially game over for them.
Now, I thought the Ravens secondary in week four, you know, coming in, they were, what, 32nd against the pass. But in week four, they plastered their receivers, and they put Marlon on the inside. Marlon was on Shakir the whole time and did a good job, you know, and receivers weren't getting open. That's why Josh Allen was, you know, scrambling around, holding the ball and throwing incompletions. So I'll be anxious to see again, can their receivers get open?
I agree. And that time they didn't have Amari Cooper, but one of the biggest mysteries in the entire league to me this season has been Amari Cooper. You know, I feel like Buffalo brought him in to be that X factor at wide receiver, and he really hasn't done much. He's had a pretty poor year overall from Cleveland to Buffalo. So obviously, you know, Shakir's a great player, and they got Curtis Samuel involved last week. We'll see how that goes. They have some good tight ends as well, and, you know, James Cook obviously at the running back position, but, you know, the way that Baltimore defended them in week four, you're right, Josh Allen couldn't get anything going. And yet, you know, Josh can make those superhero plays, but he, much like Lamar, it's the same conversation where, you know, you can be Superman, but you need help, whether that's offensive line, pass catchers, whatever it may be. So this is, right, the different defense compared to what we saw in week four with the guys in, and this, you feel a lot more confident in their secondary this time around. So
except
if
Stevens,
they play the way they've, yeah, well, that's a different conversation, yeah. But if they play the way they've been playing all season, at least, you know, past that second Cincinnati game, I'll classify that as a new season for the defense, I think they'll be all right.
Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, the Ravens Wire. Buffalo getting points at home where they're undefeated here in 2024 into the 2025 postseason. All right, Kevin, here it is. When we're talking on next Tuesday, who's cleaned out the lockers with the hefty bags? John Cena helping them carrying out their gear.
I think it's going to be Buffalo who cleans out the lockers. You know, I just I think that these are two really good teams, but I had even been saying this during the wild card weekend. If the Ravens found a way to advance, the Buffalo matchup does feel good. Now, that doesn't mean that they, you know, are going to win the game. They have to actually show up, execute, and play well. But as we talked about, I just think the Baltimore run game and the Baltimore offensive line is just going to be overpowering to that Buffalo defense. And while the Bills can keep up with the Ravens in a shootout, I just don't know if the Bills will be able to stop it at any point during the game.
What a homer. Kevin Allstriker, USA Today. No, I'm joking. Because I'll be paying. Anyway, Ravens Wire, Kevin, we appreciate it as always. Hopefully next Tuesday we will be talking about the Ravens, maybe hosting the AFC Championship game, depending on what Houston could do at Arrowhead, or actually going to Arrowhead. Because if we're talking about that cleaning out lockers, it's probably not going to be a nice conversation. How's that sound?
Yeah, you know, if it's Houston, I'm picking the Ravens again, so be prepared for it.
There you go.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, Kevin.
So
Kevin Allstriker, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Whip around coming up next. That Vinny stat breakdown. Ravens, Bills defenses heading into week 4 and where they stand heading into Sunday night's matchup with a trip to the AFC Championship game.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
On the line.
Vinny and Haney's Whip.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. You want to hear it loud? We'll play it. Send your request. Pause for text line at 410-583-1057. You want to get in? Talk about the Ravens and Bills. We can do that too. You want to talk Terps? You want to talk college football playoffs? Anything on your mind, open phone lines for you. We talked last hour. Kevin Willard, Maryland wins last night, 77-71 over Minnesota. Derek Queen, 18 of his career high, 27. Second half, Rodney Rice had 21. Maryland forces 16 turnovers, which has kind of been their calling card here in 2024 into 25. Maryland now back to 500 in the Big Ten, off to Northwestern Thursday night. The always fun 9 o'clock tip off. These 6:30 ones are pretty badass.
Yeah.
Now it sucks if you're trying to get to College Park at 6:30. But 9 o'clock tip off, Evanston. We'll have that game on the Fan, obviously, coming up in a couple of days. Elsewhere, men's college basketball in the Big Ten. Rutgers beat UCLA 75-68. Bruins have lost 4 in a row, 5 of 6. Rutgers breaks a 3-game losing streak. Ace Bailey had a big game for the Scarlet Knights, who were ranked prior to the season, but they're barely at 500 right now. And for Mick Cronin, I guess he's going to try to get thrown out of every gym in the Big Ten this year.
Yeah.
He didn't get thrown out last night. I'm sure he wanted to. But UCLA flatlining here in the month of January. Locally, American U, coached by former Terp, McDonald's All-American out of DeMatha. Dwayne Simpkins, my buddy, 73-54 over Loyola. Morgan State beat Norfolk State, 78-74 in MEAC action. Unfortunately, Larry Stewart and his Eagles at Coppin State, they lose to Howard, 90-75. In the NBA last night, it was Minnesota, 121-06 over the hapless Wizards. They stink.
They
stink. I mean, they can't defend.
Well, they want to stink.
Yeah, I think it's us three, and pick two other people could probably score 60 at halftime against the Wizards. Ant-Man dropped 41 for the T-Wolves there. Anthony Edwards, 41, 6, 7, and 3 steals. How's that for filling a stat line? Bob Carrington, Baltimore zone. He had 8 points, 5 boards, 2 assists for the Wiz. Toronto beat Golden State last night, 104-101. Scotty Barnes had 23. He's a stud, by the way. Manuel Quickly, the hip, missed the game.
He did?
He's scuffling. Injuries have kind of shortchanged this season for him, but Toronto beats Golden State. Steph Curry was lamenting the woes of the team, doesn't think they need drastic moves. Our boy Jonathan Kuminga's hurt. Nolan over there. Draymond Green didn't play. You know what? Did we get the Warriors fatigue anyway?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like I guess the Chiefs are with some football fans. Enough of them. Let's see somebody new. Looks like somebody new is coming along. And maybe it's Houston, who beat Memphis 120-118. The Rockets, they're one of the best teams right now, number two in the West behind OKC. An exciting game there. Jalen Green for the Rockets, 42 points. Cam Whitmore, Baltimore, he had 16. Santi Aldama for the Grizz. Loyola Greyhound, who we just talked about, 5 points, 2 boards, 3 assists. Clippers beat Miami 109-98. Nate Powell, he had 29. Norman Powell, rather. And Haywood Highsmith for the Heat, you know, trying to get over the loss of Jimmy Buckets there. Did you see some of the highlights of him, Nolan, half-assing it before the suspension?
Oh, low lights.
Oh, my God. One-legged threes where he just didn't even follow his shot. He's kind of trucked up to the other side of the basket where his guy scored on him. It was, boy.
And it's even sadder that that stuff actually works in getting the player what he wants, getting out of town.
Wah. Can't stand it. Petulant, entitled, whatever. Haywood Highsmith, a guy worked his ass off to get to the NBA. Not that Jimmy Butler didn't, second-round pick out of Marquette, but Haywood Highsmith out of Baltimore, Curley, 9 points, 5 boards, 2 assists, and 3 steals. College football playoffs, as we talked about, next Monday, Ohio State, number 8 seed, number 7 Notre Dame. Ohio State's in Atlanta, Buckeyes 8-point favorites in this matchup. Marcus Freeman, Notre Dame coach, played.
Yep.
At Ohio State. And we'll talk more about this rest of the weekend. Certainly on Monday, it is the Whip Around. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, this day in sports history. It is January the 14th. How about 1979 for you pugilist fans? Wilfred Benitez wins the welterweight championship WBC version from Carlos Palomino. Split decision, 15 rounds. Controversial decision because it could have been a unanimous decision. But Zach Clayton, who was the referee in the Ali Foreman fight, kind of quick count that one, he gave Palomino the fight. I watched this as a 14-year-old on Baltimore Street. Howard Cosell on the call. The big deal here was that Wilfred Benitez was only 20 years old and won a second championship. And by the time he was 22, he won 3. And this was when it was just WBA, WBC. No WBO, no silver this, no IBF that. It was 2 sanctioning bodies, and he won 3 belts by the time in 3 different weight classes. He was 22. Sadly, Wilfred Benitez dealing with the post-traumatic effects of pugilism. Donald Curry doing the same thing, another one of my favorite fighters, not to make it all about me. Let's see. 1976, college hoops. Maryland men, number 2 in the country, down in Raleigh, taking on number 13 NC State. Terps win 87-69. Mo Howard, buddy, out of Philly, 25 points, 10 boards. Steve Shepard, gold medal winner in 76 Olympics. He had 16 and 11. John Lucas had 15. 3 NBA players right there, folks. Maryland beats NC State that night. 49. Get the bleep out of here. 1984. How about 41 years ago? Down in Cameron, Duke Fifth-ranked Maryland beat the Blue Devils 81-75. Len Bias had 17. Adrian France, Jeff Atkins, both had 14. All five starters in double digits for the left-hander as Maryland beats the Blue Devils there. 1968, football Super Bowl II in Miami. The Packers in Vince Lombardi's last game as head coach of Green Bay.
Bart Starr.
Beat the Raiders 33-14. Bart Starr, most valuable player. Halftime entertainment, Shaboozy. Now, it was Grambling's national band. Ray Scott, Pat Summerall, Jack Kemp on the call. 39.12 million people watched it. 68 market share. Super Bowl II. And on this day in NFL history, in Oakland, 2001, this happened.
Dilfer from his end zone, over the middle. That's complete. Shannon Sharp, room to run. Sharp to the 40, to the 30. Going to make it to the end zone for the touchdown. 96 yards, and the Ravens are on the board.
Late great game, Greg Gumbel on the call, the AFC Championship game. Shannon Sharp, it was a little slant pass. Like 5 yards of air. And then Shannon Sharp took it to the house. Ravens beat the Raiders 16-3 on their way to Super Bowl 35. Matt Stover kicked 3 field goals. Defense had 4 sacks, 4 picks, 2 from Dwayne Stark. So the Baltimore Ravens, after not having football, the Charm City. Told you, Nolan, my entire decade I was in my 20s. I had nobody to root for. I had to switch to Denver. And John Elway, who everybody hates but I love. Ravens get to the Super Bowl where they would win. That happened on this day, sports history, January the 14th. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. The current day Ravens, 2 wins away from getting to the Super Bowl this year. They're going to Buffalo. Vinny's going to break down the stats defensively heading into that Week 4 matchup and how they stand heading into the divisional round. Funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw, you want to join us, you can. It's 410-583-1057. It's Vinny, Haney, Nolan McGraw. Turn up Tuesday. It's Buffalo week. Ravens 2 steps from New Orleans.
Vinny and Haney crunch the numbers. Sunday stats preview. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Here on this playoff week. Divisional round. Ravens off to Buffalo. 1-point favorites against the Bills. Undefeated at home. We all kind of figured that one out. Buffalo coming off a dismantling of Denver. Ravens, same thing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But they met earlier in the year, end of September. Ravens blow them out. National TV, 35-10. And Vinny's going to break down the statistical differences, the two teams, their defenses heading into that game, and where they are heading into this playoff matchup.
Yeah, when you look at the Ravens coming into the Buffalo game, The Ravens' defense was 23rd, giving up 341 yards a game. And how about after that game? They went from 23rd to 13th, getting ready for Cincinnati, 23rd to 13th. Now, in passing, going into the Buffalo game, last, 292 yards a game, 292. After that game, they moved up to 29th at 257. Rushing defense, they were number one going into that game, giving up 50 yards a game. Points allowed, they were giving up a lot of points. They were 24th. They were giving up 26 points a game, the Ravens defense was. And then after that game, they were giving up 22. Now, pass attempts, they were almost last. Everybody was throwing it on them. Coming into the Buffalo game, they were 31st, 117. Completion percentage, they were not good there either. 66.7%, they were 19th. How about average per completion? They were horrible. 28.1 per completion. 8.1 average per completion. Right now, they're 7.1. So, I mean, the improvements they made from there is tremendous. Like, total defense as the season ended right now, they're 10th. So, they've gone from week 4 to week 17, from 23rd to 10th. And when did it was the next week.
I think it was Cincinnati. After the first Cincy game, right?
That's when Peace came in.
As a advisor.
Yeah. Yes. All right, touchdown passes, they were 18th. The Ravens defense, they had only given up 4 at that time. Now they're 19th. They've given up 27. Interceptions, They were 12th. They only had two. Ravens right now got 12. Sacks. Ravens were 10th at that time with 11. Now the Ravens are second with 54.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, because after four games, Bob, they're averaging basically a sack a game. Now they're averaging, 3.5 sacks a game? Improved that tremendously. And I want to sign Oway, but to my number. I don't want to give him some crazy deal, you know, because he had a nice speed move, and then he had a really nice spin back inside counter move that was really nice the other day. Quarterback rating, the Ravens were 21st at 95.6. Now they're 15th at 91.1. Rushing attempts, Ravens were first. Nobody wanted to run it on them at that time either, 53. Now they're second with 383. Average per rush at that time, 1 at 2.8. Now the average per rush is their number one at 3.6. Third down conversions. The Ravens were 25th, 44.1. Now they're 18th at 39.8, which is pretty good improvement. But I mean, it's just crazy that they've gone from 23rd at that time to 10th. And that is passing, you know, average per completion from 8.1 to 7.1. They've improved so much. Now the offense. No, the offense, they were number one after those games. They 430 yards a game, now they're 425. Passing, they were 10th, now they're 7th. Rushing, Bob, they were second with 203, now they're first with 187. I mean, they were running the heck out of the ball. Scoring points, Ravens offense was 11th, 23.7. Now they're third, 30.5. 7 more points a game they're scoring. Pass attempts, they were 20th with 90. Pass attempts, now they're 31st with 477. I mean, you talk about efficient. They throw at least amount, and they're still ranked 7th in passing. Completion percentage, Ravens offense, they were 21st going into that game at 65.6. And now they're 10th at 66.7. Average per completion, they were 8th, 7.8. Now they're first, 8.8. Touchdown passes, they were 18th with 3. Now they're second with 41. I mean, Lamar's kind of...
No doubt.
Interceptions, they were 21st with 1. Now they're 31st with 4. So, I mean, he's thrown 3 since week 4. And one of them was off the hand, you know, I mean...
Ripped out of his hand.
Yeah, against Pittsburgh. Sacks, they were 30th. They'd only had 3 sacks given up, and now they're 29th. They've only given up 24. Quarterback rating, they were 12th. 12th, Lamar was, after 4 games. 95.7. Now they're first at 119.4.
One of the 5 best of all time.
I know. I mean, he went up 25 points. That's crazy. Rushing attempts. They were 4th with 104. Now they're 2nd. They run the heck out of the ball. Average per rush, they were 1 at 5.9. Now they're still 1 at 5.8. They're still kicking ass. Third down conversions, they were 11th at 41.2. Third downs now, they're 3rd, 48.2. And Bob, after 4 games, they were 1 in penalties, 31. They're 2 at 132 with 1,120 yards.
Well, moving on up, as the Jefferson said. Finney and Hattie went up 5-7. The Fed will get to Buffalo later in the show. But when we come back, Funhouse Trip, Mr. Excitement, Nolan McGraw, news from the Nest. Hear more from John Harbaugh. Met with the media yesterday. We got buy or sell. Where's the Turn It Up Tuesday dough? Hopefully counting that. Jacob Calvin Meyer, Baltimore Sun. Talk Orioles here as we're about 5 weeks away for pitchers and catchers. And then NFL lunch at 1 o'clock, we're going to hear from Sean McDermott.
Oh, nice.
The Buffalo Bills head coach ahead of this matchup. Ryan DiArdo, CBSSports.com. Dallas needs a new head coach. Who's the front runner? Is it, in fact, Deion Sanders? And where does Mike McCarthy wind up? Talk Orioles, Jacob Calvin Meyer. Then at 12:45, Vinny's going to compare the Steelers D-line to Buffalo's D-line. And we saw the Ravens struggle at times with Pittsburgh's defensive line. Will the task be easier going up against that Oliver and crew coming up Sunday at 6:30? But let's bring old Quick Draw McGraw in here. Nolan, how you doing here, buddy?
Doing pretty good. You know, Terps get the job done last night, but I got to be honest, watching along the way, kind of some mixed feelings. You know, early on in that first half, not their best game. And I understand that, sure, the Gophers came out and couldn't miss from three. You're sitting there thinking, well, eventually water's going to find its level. Things will even out, and they did in that regard. But just too many careless turnovers, sloppiness here and there, fouls when you don't need them, mishaps on defense. Just not what you would expect to see a team entering the new year, entering the early stages of conference play, especially a team that showed so much promise early on. But the difference in the game to me is when they actually decided to start pushing the pace. Early in that second half, it was really kind of a tug of war over pace of play. Minnesota seemed very content running the shot clock down under 10 seconds almost every time they had the ball. I'm guessing they wanted to shorten the game a little bit and try to, you know, muddy it up. And Maryland, every chance they got, all right, every block, rebound, quick outlet pass, let's run. And it started working for them. I almost feel like that's where they're at their best. I mean, they've got a bunch of scoring capable guys in that starting five, but when they can get out and run, that might be when they're at their best.
Look, they've got, this is the best athleticism we've seen in Maryland men's basketball in quite some time. This Kupari, and I'm going to go old man on you. As I said yesterday, this is the 50th anniversary of me actually watching the Terps from opening game to the end, 1975. Brad Davis, Mo Howard, John Lucas, that three-guard lineup lost to Louisville in the Elite Eight. I'll never forget, I was still living in Laurel at the time. Al McGuire picked Louisville to win, and I was mad at Al McGuire for 40 years. I said, how dare you? And Louisville actually wound up blowing them out, Junior Bridgman and that crew. But I've seen them all, at least from the Bias, obviously, could jump out of the gym. Albert King had springs. Buck Williams could get off the floor. That X-re-hip. This guy, Kupari, he's got mega bounce, pogo stick bounce. And did you see the block? They called it foul, where the guy challenged the rim.
Yeah.
He can bang some threes from time to time, but he's incredibly athletic. I mean, and Miguel and Rice, they can all run the floor. I mean, Queen doesn't look like he's that athletic, but he's got a little deceptive athleticism here. Yeah, take advantage of it. And we talked to Kevin Willard last hour. When the defense sets the tone, and they only turned it over 10 times, but they were egregious ones, a couple of sloppy ones. But there, the potential is there. No more attaboys, as we said. And UCLA, they're kind of sucking right now. So you take that win with a grain of salt. You get the win at Northwestern. Yeah, they've lost three in a row, but they have two guys that can make life miserable for you. Get that win, and then we'll work from there. Because everyone that does the games locally, of course, our crew, Chris Nockey, The Wiz, Johnny Holiday, but that Big Ten national group, they love Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
They got to start getting some big wins. Then you go to Illinois and Indiana after that. But Northwestern, you got to win the game. Got to win on the road. Even Willer's flummoxed as to why they can't seem to translate from Xfinity to wherever.
And traditionally for Maryland, at least since joining the Big Ten, going to Northwestern, kind of like traveling to face Penn State, for some reason, it's always been the Terps' kryptonite. They don't play their best in that building for some reason. I don't know what it is, but anytime they're traveling to face Northwestern, no matter how good or bad Northwestern is, I kind of go in with a bit of a pit in my stomach.
Well, it's that son of a bitch, Chris Collins, that Dukey, that Duke hate. Or no, I'm just making stuff up.
It used to be, you know what it used to be? And thank God she's since graduated, I'm assuming. Remember that girl, that Northwestern fan, that would sit in the student section and would just scream from tip off to the end of the game?
No.
It was like their calling card at Northwestern. I'm pretty sure it was them.
Well,
she would sit like front row and just like this shrill, nonstop scream from start to finish.
Sister Jean? Mike Harmon, by the way, our buddy from Fox, Northwestern grad. And by the way, Chris Collins, all credit. They had never made the NCAA. Think about it. In the history of the NCAA tournament, Northwestern had never made it until Collins took them there in 2017. So he's like their John Wooden. But enough of that nonsense. Handle your business on Thursday night, Maryland. You can hear the game on the Fan. You want to go to the fun house? What are you doing?
Let's do it.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with Eric in Bel Air, who says, seems to me that Zay Flowers won't be able to play again unless maybe the Ravens make a Super Bowl run. The Ravens just playing their usual, or Harbaugh, the usual injury status game. Doesn't want to reveal too much information. Eric goes on to say, but the Ravens know deep down Zay's not playing anytime soon.
Yeah, if I'm a betting man, he's probably not. I mean, if he's doing anything at practice tomorrow, then there's a chance. You know, like, he's not going to be full. If he's limited, or I'm guessing if he would do anything, he's probably off to the side. So if he's on the field, that's a plus on Wednesday. Then we'll see.
And to those kind of mind games point that Eric was making, you know, John Harbaugh did say that he could play if he doesn't practice all week, but we all know that's...
That ain't happening.
The only guy that has that designation, probably Lamar. Usually everyone else, if they're not practicing by Thursday, that's your indication. They're out. Moving on here, this one from Mike in Perry Hall says, going back to that Steelers game, Mike Tomlin, the team quitting on him, says, I think the key moment of the game was Tomlin's decision to punt on fourth and inches. Sure, they were in their own territory, but down by multiple scores, Steelers could have easily fell forward for the first down in the playoffs in that moment. Just a terrible decision.
Yeah, I think in that type of situation, you're the underdog, you've lost four in a row, you're not as talented as the other team. They kicked your butt the last time. I'm letting it, like Denver did, fake punts. You know, let it. What's it matter? You're expected to lose anyhow. Well, who cares if I lose 42-14, or, you know, gives me a chance to win?
Chris checking in here, talking college football national championship coming up on Monday. Says Notre Dame spoiled what should have been Penn State's revenge opportunity against Ohio State. Chris, a salty Penn State fan here, but says Ohio State will destroy Notre Dame, like Georgia destroyed TCU a few years back.
Boy, that was ugly.
I think the only Notre Dame will compete and play their butts off. I think the only way that happens is, you know, if Notre Dame allows a lot of explosive plays. That could be the killer, because they're receivers. Ohio State's receivers and running backs are really skilled, and they got to keep them contained.
Will Howard's playing well, too.
Yeah, he's playing great.
I wonder if Chris is a fan of James Franklin at this stage.
Well, earlier this year, he was ready to give him up to Maryland.
And I believe I read this correctly, that Marcus Freeman has won more games against ranked teams during this playoff run, or top five teams, whatever it is, than Franklin's won in his entire career. Then again, Maryland didn't even make a bowl game, so I ain't popping off too much. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, news from the nest. Talk about what's going on at One Winning Drive as we get ready for the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. Ravens 1-point favorites on the road against a team that hasn't lost at home yet. Count that turn it up Tuesday, money buy or sell. And we'll talk Orioles with Jacob Calvin-Meyer. Arbitration pretty much done, but Jorge Mateo, he's playing hardball, pun intended. We'll find out why.